Yeah, we're holding on Yud Gimel Amidah. We're holding Yud Gimel Amidah on the top line.
We said yesterday, we talked yesterday about the Shiva Rukiyim, the seven heavens, one above the other, related to the seven midas, etc. Now, on top of all of that, Amar of Achav Yaakov, Oy Rukiya Echad Yesh Lamayla Mirosh Echayis. There's one more Rukiya above the heads of the Chayis. Up until now, we've been talking about below the Chayis HaKadosh. In Chassidish terms that we could say is in the Olamus that we're more familiar with, in Viyah. Actually, we'll talk about soon which Olam the Chayis HaKadosh themselves are in. That's another issue. But, yeah. Yeah, no. I would imagine they probably just say a lot of it is Kabbalistic stuff that we don't understand. The fact is, even for us, as Chassidim, it's also Kabbalistic stuff we don't understand. No. Anyway, so there's one more Rakia above the Chayah. It's just different. The Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Ud Musa Rosh HaChayah, there is an image above the heads of the Chayah, Rakia, a heaven, Ke'ena Kerach HaNorah, like an awesome ice. That's above the Chayah HaKadosh. And the Gemara says, Ad kan yeshu l'chol reshus l'daber, up until that point you have permission to talk about, but that's still in that's in the Olamus. That we're
that.
Ad kan meaning from our earth all the way up until that point, up until this Rakia above the Chayis, you have permission to talk about. Mekan ve'elach ein l'chol reshus l'daber, above that, Kav Yachol is the Eivishne himself, Asmus u'mahus. You have no right to talk about what there is above that. Shekain Kosov is Sefer Ben Sira, and thus it says in Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira is quoted in a dozen or so places in Gemara. It's a Sefer that was written early in the time of the Second Mishnah Mikdash. There are the sources that say Rishonim talk about it, that he was a son, a grandson of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Whatever it is, he wrote a very poetic Sefer, sort of in the style of Sefer Mishlei, with all kinds of it has words of Musar in it. It has different kinds of things. It also has descriptions of many of the characters from Tanakh, including Shimon HaTzadik, who lived in his time. The Gemara talks in a few places about it, that in the end it was considered Sfarim HaChatzonim. It wasn't written as Ruach HaKodesh, so it's not considered part of Tanakh. And the Gemara actually in Sanhedrin talks about the Chachamim had kind of a dim view of people reading it. Because the Gemara says there's actually this stuff in it that's flat out silly. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that, the Gemara talks about over there about different things, like they talk about like how certain physical characteristics of people show what kind of person they are. A person with a certain kind of beard is foolish, a person with a different things like that. For example, the Gemara mentions a half dozen things from there that are not really well founded. But the Gemara says, okay, when there's something milim malius, when there's proper things in it, then you can be dirtish then. But historically, because the Chachamim discouraged reading it, then the Hebrew original of it eventually got lost. All that was left for hundreds of years was Greek translation that Ben Sira's grandson made. The Goyim took it into their Bible, whatever. Eventually, in the last 100 years, they found bits and pieces of the Hebrew in the Geniza and Cairo and the Dead Sea Scrolls and whatever. So now they have a clearly.
With Shoshim also, they had.
Shoshim had reservations about it. Yechezkel also had reservations about. We'll talk about at the bottom of the Yom, but those were written in the Ruach HaKodesh, and those remain part of Tanakh. And Sira, there was never even a Havam, and it's put in Tanakh because it's not written in the Ruach HaKodesh. Anyway, it says in Sefer Ben Sira, "B'mufla mimcha al tidrosh, in what's too wondrous for you, don't delve into. Over mechusim mecha al tachker, and what's hidden from you, don't analyze. But masha roshay says, and consider what you're allowed to. And lechayisik ben estodis, you have no business with hidden things." Similar ideas to what we said at the beginning of the Perek, from the Rambam and from other Rishonim. These are things that are really beyond a normal human being's ability to understand. And if you delve too much into them, you're going to end up like one of the people, Shenichnasu L'Pargis, that we'll talk about tomorrow, Rez Hashem. Can you? We learn it right. So Amar Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Mat Shuvah Heshivatu Baskol La'Oser Rasha. What is the answer that Baskol gave to that Rasha, namely Nebuchadnezzar, B'Shar Sha'amar, when he said as follows? There's a Nevuah in Yeshaya talking about the downfall of Babel, and in it describes how great Nebuchadnezzar thought he was. Plus, because he says on himself, Ela Obama say of, I will go up on the heights of the clouds, Adam El Elyon, I will be similar to the one above. I'll be similar to Hashem. And now, Adam al-Elyon and Chassidus in a number of places talk about the positive sense of it. A person is in a certain way like the Eivishter. But the Nebuchadnezzar meant it that, I'm gonna do this all on my own. I don't need Hashem.
Equation.
Yeah. Yotza Baskel v'amr. Loitza Baskel comes out and says to him, Rosha ben Rosha, Then Bnei Shal Nimrod HaRasha, the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha, Shehimrod Kala Olam Kulei Olav, B'malchusei, who made the whole world rebel against him during his kingdom. And Rashi did not rebel against him. Rashi says it's a euphemism. It means he made the whole world rebel against Hashem. But we don't want to say that, so we say as if like he made it rebel against himself. The more standard type of euphemism. What do we mean, by the way, that the grandson of Nimrod? I mean, Nimrod is in the time of Avram. Nebuchadnezzar is, you know, 1,200 years later. So the Tosfos says, you know, that doesn't mean anywhere. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't descended from Nimrod. Nimrod is from Cush. Nebuchadnezzar is from a different nation. It means he's the same kind of person. He's the same spiritual descendant. They both ruled in Babel, and then other Mefarshim also says on the here on the side they both tried to harm the Jewish people, etc. There's a lot of similarities between them. Anyway, so the Baskel says to him like this. Think of it like this. How much shnois of shaladim shivim shana? How much does a person live on average? 70 years. Shenema yemesh nesenim v'hem shivim shana. V'imig boder shmeidim shana. A person has extra strength, like we said at the end of my cut, and he lived 80 years. Which, okay, Tosfos points out, Nebuchadnezzar himself actually lived longer than that. He lived from the time of Sancheiriv, but still, okay, you know, the average person.
How long did he live?
So the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that Nebuchadnezzar was one of the survivors of Sancheiriv's army. From the destruction of Sancheiriv's army until the Churban is 125 years. Which means, therefore, so Nebuchadnezzar had to have already been a member of the army there, and he lived for 20-odd years after the Churban. So he lived to a considerable age then, but still, you know, compared to the figures that the Gemara is going to say over here, it's still nothing. Just from the earth until the heaven is 500 years journey.
As we said yesterday.
The obvious Tosfos had brought that it's related to the hidden letters of the name Shin Dalet Yud. Yeah. The thickness of the rakia, of the first rakia, is 500 years, the journey. And there's a similar distance between each rakia and the next. And since you have seven rakiyim, then already that's, you have all that. Above that, you have the chayis hakodesh. And now let's start figuring. At that point, you have like this. Raglei chayis keneged kulam. The feet of the chayis are equal to everything below, or equal to everything below it. Ragli, meaning Rashi, means the thickness of the soles of the feet of the chayis hakodesh. Obviously, this means it's ruchniyistic term, but it means, in other words, the Alter Rebbe quotes in Tanya to illustrate this idea. Ragli chayis keneged kulam, to illustrate the idea that when you come to the olam ha'soyonim, you know, we talk about, for example, the tzilus, the zria, don't think the Alter Rebbe says. That's, for example, you know, that's, you know, we know how, you know, Asiya is a huge, you know, Asiya is huge. Okay, so Bria maybe is the same size. It's, no. Ragle Achayas, can I pull them? The feet, the very bottom, not even in size, in Mila, the lowest aspect of each Olam, Malchus of each Olam, becomes the source of the 10 spirits of the next Olam. So everything that we have in Olam Asiya, all is filtered through Malchus of Yetzirah. In effect, Malchus of Yetzirah, Beruchnius, is equal to, in size and equal and in capacity and everything to the entire Olam Asiya, and so with each of the other.
No,
we're not talking about in time. We're not talking about in time and in space necessarily. We mean in Mila. Everything that, when we think of how much there is, how much Ruchnius there is in our world, all of that Ruchnius is compressed into Malchus of Yetzirah. And then all of Yetzirah is compressed within Malchus of Bria, and so on and so forth, going up. So that you can imagine how filtered it is by the time it reaches us. Yeah, that's what the Ragla Achayis Keneged Kulam. Next, Shoike Achayis Keneged Kulam. The bottom part of the leg of the Chayis is Keneged each of them, which either that means Keneged everything that we said until now, so each time including the Raglaim, or it just means Keneged Kulam that we mentioned until now. Tosfos mentions, by the way, that up until this point, we're talking about, you have, so we said there's seven rakiyim, there's eight spaces between them, so you have 15 times 500. That's the Yechezkel describes the Malachim as having Raglehem Rego Yeshara, they have straight feet, but Yeshara also is Gematria 515. So that's 500 years times 15. 7,500, yeah. That's just to reach the feet of the Chayis HaKodesh, yeah. So Karsulei Achayis Keneged Kulam. Sorry, I skipped a line. Raglei Achayis Keneged Kulam. Yeah, Karsulei Achayis Keneged Kulam. The Karsul, which is the lower part of the foot of the Chayis, is Keneged all of that. Shoike Achayis Keneged Kulam. Ruchuvei Achayis Keneged Kulam. Yarchei Achayis Keneged Kulam. These are different parts of the leg. The Navi pictures the Yechezkel when he describes the Chayis HaKodesh, which we're going to talk about soon.
he describes them as having feet like animals. He says an animal has four parts to its foot. It has the hoof, and then it has three bones above it. Because animals, kosher animals, effectively walk on their tiptoes. So you have the toes themselves that are inside the hooves. You have the first bone, which corresponds to the palm of our hand. The second, which corresponds to our forearm. And the third one, which corresponds to the upper arm or the upper leg. So that's what we're saying over here. That's what we're mentioning separately. The ragli, the karsule, the shoike, and the ruchuve, and then the yarche. It corresponds to all these different parts. Yeah. Next, gufei achayis keneged kulam, the body of the chayis is corresponding to all that. Sabrei achayis keneged kulam, the neck of them is keneged everything up that we set up until now. Roshei achayis keneged kulam, karnei achayis keneged kulam. After all of that, l'mayla mekulam kisei kovid, beyond all of that is the kisei kovid, and even the kisei kovid itself is not yet the eved shtur. The kisei kovid is the kisei, and in terms of chassidus, it talks about that the kisei kovid is malchus, and malchus is the lowest of all the chassidus. And ragla kisei hakavod keneged kulon and kisei hakavod keneged kulon. On top of all of that, melech keo chai v'kayim ramanisa sheichan aleim. Only on top of that, only beyond all of that is the Eibishter. Ba'ata marta ela albomosei ova damal elyon. You're saying I'm going to go up on the heights of a cloud and be like the Eibishter? Never going to happen. Achal sheol tura, does the puzzle continue? No, you'll be thrown down into sheol, into gehenim, el yaukusei boru, to the deepest pit. And that's exactly what happened. I saw that in the Orth School Gemara, they quoted a vote, I think, from Yosef Melio, that the vote about these 500 years journeys, the idea is that, for example, if a person were to start working by Avoida with their own koiches to try and get even to the first heaven, even to the lowest level of Kedusha, it would take 500 years of uninterrupted effort. So what happens? The Eved helps us. That once a person, peacefully Pesach, all the Eved asks is, you start the process, and I'll help you. I'll shalai be'erach to what you put into it. So Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I'm going to do it all by my own, and the Eved tells him, gay hyphen, you're never going to make it. Next, the Mishnah said, that's Sukkah for some reason, I don't know why that, pass him a Gemara, please. Next, the Mishnah said, "V'loiber merkava b'yachad." You're not allowed to teach the ma'ase merkava. Up until now, we've been talking about ma'ase bereishis. Now we're going to talk about ma'ase merkava, which we said before that ma'ase merkava is a more advanced thing than ma'ase bereishis.
It
goes beyond ma'ase bereishis.
Prior to bereishis.
Yes, higher basically. Not really higher. Not really prior to, but higher than. Again, that's why we said that ma'ase bereishis you can teach it to one person at a time. Ma'ase merkava, not even that, unless he's chacham, maven, etc. But also, we talked about the Rambam holds that Ma'aseh Bereishis is physics and that Ma'aseh Merkava is metaphysics. Everybody else disagrees with him on that, and they say that both of them, Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, are Kabbalistic ideas, and that's basically what it is. You could, Chassidish terms, you could more or less say that Ma'aseh Bereishis is what we know of from Bria Yitzirasiya, from Olam Hasbiya, and Ma'aseh Merkava is what's beyond that, and Atzilus, and then Lifnei Atzilus. In a broad sense. So Tani Rav Chiya, we say that you can't teach the Merkava B'yachid, but Rav Chiya says, Ava Moitzu Lo Roshei Prakin, but you can tell him the chapter headings, which means of Ma'aseh Merkava. Now most of Ma'aseh Merkava is based on a few different places in Sefer Yechezkel. The first parak of Yechezkel, it has a whole vision that Yechezkel saw of the Merkava of the Eved with the Chayis HaKodesh and everything. We read it as Haftorah, the first day Shavuos, which the reason for that is we learned it towards the end of Megillah because since by Matan Torah the Yidden got to see the Shechina and got to see the Malachim and Chayis HaKodesh and everyone that are the Eved's retinue. So on Shavuos, it's an appropriate time for us to read about it. They did. We say that there's a famous expression in the Medrash that a shivcha by Kriyas Yamsuf saw more than what Yeshaya and Yechezkel saw. So yeah, but Matan Torah all the more so. Anyway. So you have, there's, as I said, the first parak of Yechezkel that talks about this, and then there's a few later places in Sefer Yechezkel that fill in more details. We're going to talk about that as we go through. Ma'aseh Merkava basically means then learning about the deeper, a Gemara.
Oh, Gemara, yeah.
That's Makos. Okay. I think we're good now. So Rashi Prakim then means, so Rashi says Rashi Parshias, Shabbat. You have different sections over there in Yechezkel, that's a different Sukkim or whatever. Rashi Prakim would mean like the basic, the chapter heading, like the basic pump, the basic, that's what you're allowed to. Amar Rav Zera, in most in Rashi Prakim, even these Rashi Prakim, you don't just go over to anybody, only Elul Av Beis Din, Ulchomi Shalibet Doeg Vekir, like only to an Av Beis Din, or somebody who's suitable to be an Av Beis Din, and anybody whose heart is Doeg within him. Doeg means that it's worried within him. Which means that Rashi says the enim makel asroishay. Libet Doeg Vekir means this person is not given to Kavos Rosh. He knows how to be serious. Different other mepharshim talk about it, brought up in some place in Chassidus, that libo doig v'kirboi is the idea that the person has yira ilah, whatever. There's also the idea that everyone's talked about that the idea of it is libo doig v'kirboi is the kind of person who he feels bad that he doesn't know this stuff yet. He knows everything he needs to from the rest of the Torah. He's worthy to be an Av Beis Din, and he feels bad. Libo doig v'kirboi, his heart is concerned with him. How you talking? I don't know this yet. Then you know already that he's on the level for this. Ikadamri, others say, well, who should libo doig v'kirboi? You need both. Not an Av Beis Din or anybody that libo doig v'kirboi. You need both. He needs to be on the level of an Av Beis Din and to be libo doig v'kirboi. Only then is he suitable for Rashi Prakim. We only give over the secrets of the Torah, these Kabbalistic ideas, to people who have in them five qualities. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Sar Chamishim, I'll translate it literally right now. Tomorrow the Gemara will talk about what each of these really means. Sar Chamishim, a captain of 50, or Nesuponim, somebody who has an uplifted face, like people respect him, V'yoyet, and an advisor, V'chacham Choroshim, and somebody who's a Chacham in secret, or Nevoin Lachash, and who understands whispered things. We'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow what all those mean. And again, like we said, this was in those times, and then, in our times, the Arizal said mitzvah, mutter, mitzvah legalis to a chachma, and therefore we have more and more of it. La pashala, we learn it in depth nowadays. Ve'amar Abasi, speaking of this, in most in divrei Torah lo'ed kechavim, you don't give over words of Torah to a goy. Shenema lo also came the chol goy u'mishpatim ba'yidom. The Eved did not do so for any other nation, and the mishpatim, they don't know them. So if you tell them to a goy, then you're making the goy know them. There's a huge amount of ink that's been spilled on all the details of this. Tosfos talks about the parameters of it. Many Rishonim and Achronim discuss the different cases when are and aren't you, because there's a lot of different possibilities. For example, what happens? Are you allowed to, for example, discuss with Goyim when they know Pesukim and are misinterpreting them? Are you allowed to teach them a correct interpretation? If you're teaching a Yid, if you're teaching Yidden and a Goy happens to overhear, is that okay? If you're teaching somebody who's on his way to, in the process of becoming a Ger, how does that fit with this? Does it apply maybe only to Torah Shabbat Peh and not Torah Shabbat Chsav? Can you teach them the Sheva Mitzvah Denayach? Tosef says, absolutely, it's a mitzvah to teach them Sheva Mitzvah Denayach. The Rambam says the same thing. There's a lot of ink that's been spilled on all the details of this. There's different details. There's a lot of different cases. Some of them are, for example, that Rambam writes in one of his Shuvahs, that when it comes to teaching Pesukim to Goyim, that Rambam says, if you a Christian, you're allowed to, a Muslim, you shouldn't. He says, why? Because the Christians, at least, they accept the same Pesukim that we do. They accept that we have, that our Torah is valid. They hold that it was replaced, Chas v'Shalom, whatever, but at least, you quote them a Pesuk and explain to them what it really means, then fine, they'll accept it. They'll know the truth now. Mashenkin, a Muslim, they b'chlal don't hold that our Torah is written correctly. They hold that our Torah is a corrupted version of what we of the truth that's in the Quran or whatever. So you teach them a Pesuk and you teach them what the meaning of it is. They're not going to be impressed by that. They're just going to use that to support their own ideas. So you have that kind of thing. There's an interesting thing when. We know that Yossel Weinberg in the Chof started doing Shira Tanya on the radio. The Rebbe encouraged him to do that, and he did that for many years. Shira Masefa Tanya comes from that. At one point somebody asked from Moshe Feinstein a question about that kind of thing, teaching Torah on the radio. How are you talking? Goyim are going to hear it. He says basically he analyzed it based on this. One thing he said is, hey, Yossel, it's meant for Jews. A Goy is going to listen in. You don't have to worry about it.
So
that's it then. So that's an example. You're not teaching directly to a guy to sit down with a guy and teach him Tanya or whatever or Torah Shabbat Peh or whatever. That not. But to teach it for the olam, and it happens, a goy might hear, that's not such an issue. By the same token, you translate the Torah, even though goyim can read it, etc.
It sure is in Yiddish.
Well, that's also true, but okay, you know, they're all goyim who know Yiddish too, but yeah, okay. Okay, so maybe the Shiloh wasn't about his shiurim necessarily, but whatever, there are other shiurim of Torah that have been given on the radio that they...
A few days ago, why Eivish Shay is called...
You said why Eivish Shay is called the Likim in the plural, yeah.
No,
that
also asked me why
you
call Echad instead of Yaki.
Yeah, okay, you need a shtickle to understand
you'll
that.
You'll
learn Rabbi Yechanan said to Rabbi Lazar, Talmud, come. I want to teach you Ma'aseh Merkava. I feel you're ready for it. Amalei, Rabbi Lazar says, I can't. Loi kashoy, I'm not old enough yet. Which means, Rashi says, you need to be libay doyeg. You need to have that you're not kalos roish. I don't feel. I'm at the age to be on that level yet. In particular, tomorrow when the Gemara is going to explain the Sar Chamishim business, there's an opinion in the Gemara that Sar Chamishim means a person has to be at least 50 years old. And Rabbi Lazar is saying, I'm not that age yet. Ki kash, by the time he got old enough, noch nafshi, Rabbi Yechanan passed away. So Amalei Rabbi Asi, who was the Mamala Mokim of Rabbi Yechanan, tells him, come, I'll teach it to you. Now you should be ready. Amalei, Rabbi Loza says, no, Izakoy, if I had been zoichatet, gemirtim Rabbi Yechanan Rabbach, I would have been able to learn it from Rabbi Yechanan, your Rebbe. Now that he's gone, I don't feel I should be learning it from you. No, not insulting. There's learning it from Rabbi Yechanan and there's learning it from Rabbi Asi. It's Shloi Berach.
He knows
it. It's not that he doesn't think he knows it, but you know what? I mean, it's the same kind of thing as you find. You know, you find in history there were chassidim of one rebbe who had a very hard time with it being mekusher to the next rebbe. It's a very hard thing when you're mekusher to one to be niskasher to the next one. There's chassidim of the Friedrich Rebbe tells, for example, about Michal Apotsker, one of the big chassidim of the Alter Rebbe who couldn't be niskasher to the Mittler Rebbe, so he stayed in his own town. There's cases like that. Another case, Rabbi Yosef Havagova Maisa Merkava, Maisa Merkava, Rabbi Yosef had learned Maisa Merkava, Sovid Pompadissa Havatonu Maisa Bereshis, and the elders of the Tamar HaChacham of Pompadissa, which is where Rabbi Yosef lived, knew Maisa Bereshis. So one day, Omrulay, they asked him, Ligmolon Mar Maisa Merkava, would you please teach us Maisa Merkava? We know already Maisa Bereshis, we think we're ready for the next. Omrulahu, he says to them, Agmarunli Maisa Bereshis, first you teach me Maisa Bereshis, then we'll deal with it. Basar da'agmarun, after they taught it to him, Amrulay, then they said to him, L'gamrun ma'am ma'isim ha'kava, so now please teach us ma'isim ha'kava. Amrulahu, he says, no. Taninabuhu, because we learn about ma'isim ha'kava. Ma'isim ha'kava is deeper than ma'isim ha'kava. Dvash v'cholav tachat l'shoinich, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, honey and milk are under your tongue, which means dvarim ha'masukin midvash v'cholav, yir tachat l'shoinich, the things that are sweeter than honey and than milk, the sodas ha'tora, should be under your tongue. They should be hidden. So what happened over here? What are you tricking these guys into teaching Ma'aseh Bereishis and he doesn't follow through? So the vote is basically that Rambam writes, for example, in Moreh Nevuchim, it means Rabbi Yosef felt they're not on the level of knowing Ma'aseh Merkava. So like he didn't want to openly tell them so, but he's kind of hinting at it. Like, you know, you guys are ready for Ma'aseh Bereishis. So you guys know it already, fine, but you're not yet ready, and you're not yet on the level of Ma'aseh Merkava. But the story continues, so we'll get back to it in a minute. Rabbi Bo says here's a different pasuk that expresses the same idea. Kvosim l'levoshecha. A simple meaning, it means you use sheep, you use the wool from sheep for your clothes. But we darshin, dvarim shem kivshoyne shalolam. It means things that are the hidden things of the world. Kivshoyne means the hidden things. Badi kavshi, the Rachman alamalach is one example of why, what are you getting involved, the Yeshaya tells Chizkiyo, with the hidden things of the Eivishter. So kivshoyne shalolam, the things that are hidden, the hidden things of the world, your tachas levoshach should be under your clothes. They should be kept for yourself. Now, Omrulay, so the Chachamim of Pompadissa told him, you know what? Taninan bahu adva yomer elai ben adam. Actually, we already learned in Ma'aseh Merkava, we already learned it, the psukim of Yechezkel all the way up until Vayomer Elai Ben Adam, which is the beginning of Perek Beis. In other words, they said we learned the whole Perek Aleph, which is the major Ma'aseh Merkava in Yechezkel. Amulahu. So he says to them, okay, well, hein hein ma'isim erkava. Well, in that case, that's exactly what is the ma'isim erkava. So actually, he says, you know, when we say that you're not supposed to delve too much into the ma'isim erkava, primarily what we're talking about is the pesukim at the end of Perek Aleph that describe in human terms the kaviyachol the Eibishter himself sitting on the kisei hakavod. The last couple of pesukim over there of Perek Aleph. So he says to them, if you already went through Perek Aleph, then Taki, you already got past the part that the Chachamim are saying you shouldn't delve into so much. So okay, maybe it's Taki not such a problem to go for you now to learn the deeper part of it. Meisvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Heichan Meisim Merkava. Where is the point until the Meisim Merkava? Rebbe Omer ad Va'era Basra, until the last Va'era, a few times in the capital over there, he says, Va'era, I saw this and that. And there's a pasuk over there where he mentions that he describes the Chayas HaKodesh, he describes this Rakia that's above him, that we said at the top of the Amud. Then he says, above the Rakia, there's a Kisei HaKovet, Kamare Eben Sapur Dmus Kisei. Then he says, Val Dmus HaKisei, there's Dmus, there's an image, Kamare Odom Olav Milmailo, like a human figure above it on top, Kaviyachol the Shechina. Va'era Ke'en Chashmal. And he says, I saw surrounding it Chashmal, which we'll talk about soon what Chashmal is. In modern Hebrew, chashmal means electricity, but we'll talk about soon what it means in terms of ma'isim erkava. So Rebbe says up until that point, Rebbe is saying So Rebbe says up until the Eira Basra, up until there, Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Ad HaChashmal. Rabbi Yitzchok says until it talks about Chashmal. It mentions about Chashmal earlier in the Perek also. When we talk about Ke'en HaChashmal, we talk about Ish, in Pasuk Dalet or Hey. So Rabbi Yitzchok is saying up until there. So what does that mean then? So Rabbi Yosef is saying the whole entire first Perek is Hein Hein Ma'isim Erkava, primarily the last couple of psukim. We see, according to Rebbe, it's only until Pasuk Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin, whatever, which is a couple of psukim before the end, and according to Rabbi Yitzchak even earlier. The answer is, Ad Va'era Magmarinan, up until that Pasuk that you see Ke'en Chashmal around the Eibishter, or around the Kisei HaKavod, that you're allowed to give over at least Rosh HaPrakim. You're allowed to give over the chapter heading, the basic concept. Mikan ve'elach, from after that, you shouldn't even teach it. Im hu chacham mevi midaita, ein. If he's a chacham who can understand it on his own, then yes, he'll be able to learn it. Iloi, iloi, and if not, then not. Then you shouldn't be teaching that. In particular, Mepharshim say, the problem is, the pasuk describes like this. So you have this Dmus Kamara Adam Olav Milmaila, you have this, the Kaviyachol, you see this human figure sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. Then he says, Va'era Ke'en Chashmal, I saw this Chashmal, Kamara Eish Beis Lasaviv. He says, I saw this Mimare Mosna Vilamaila from the appearance of his waist and upward, or Mimare Mosna Vilamaila, or Isi Ulamata, or Isi Kamara Eish. Below Kaviyachol, his waist, I saw something different. I saw something like a fire. So a person is going to start thinking, it's bad enough a person thinks that the Eibishter has a goof, that would be bad enough. But a person is going to start thinking, what, there's two parts to the Eibishter, Kaviyachol, there's two gods, that's really no good. That's the real problem. So therefore, beyond that point, don't even be teaching it. If the guy's Chacham or Maven Medaita, he'll understand what those psukim mean.
Beyond that point means?
Means beyond the Va'era Cain, beyond that point. Beyond describing what Yechezkel saw above the Kisei HaKavod, yeah. Are you telling me that you're allowed to darshin about chashmal? It's mentioned earlier in the perek. But once happened, there was a boy who darshin about chashmal. The nakanura v'achalte, and a fire came out and burnt him up. And Hagoras Bach says that a fire came out from chashmal, whatever chashmal is, which we'll talk about soon, came and burnt him up. He had klisa nefesh from it, basically. The answer is okay. Shiny yinuka delay mati zimne. It's different. A child. It's not yet his time. He's not yet ready to learn that kind of thing. An adult at least can once he's ready for it. Liberdoy b'kibra, like he said, then at least he'll be able to learn it, and then and be able to not have klisa nefesh from it. Basic nish. Maybe he learns it on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
And there are cases in history where, first of all, again, you know, from the time of the Arizal and on, there hasn't been really this, you know, this limitation that only Dafka older people can learn Kabbalah. Increasingly, it has been younger people, but there are specific examples in history of Chachamim who started learning this stuff at fairly young ages.
And what happens to them?
Punished. I mean, you know, if they're right for it, then they're right. And you have to know where to stop. You know, you have to know where how far you're able to reach. Amar of Yehuda, Bram Zocher Oisa Ishlatov. We should always remember this person for good. V'Hanani ben Chizkiah Shmoi. His name is Hanani ben Chizkiah. Il Molei Hu Nigna Sefer Yecheskel. If it weren't for him, Sefer Yecheskel would have been b'chlal hidden away. Even though they knew it was written by Nevuah, by Ruach HaKodesh, they would have hidden it away. Show you Dvarav Soitzun Divei Torah, because there are things in Yechezkel that seem to contradict words of Torah. The Gemara in Menachas mentions a few, in Menachas and some other places mentions a few examples of it. There's a bunch of, the last program of Yechezkel described the third Beis HaMikdash. So, okay, the structure of it is different than the previous Beis HaMikdash, no big deal, you know, okay. But he describes their various karbonas, that there's nothing like them in Torah, and then dinim of korbanos, you can't just make up new korbanos. He mentions, for example, a korban that's going to be brought on the seventh day of Nisan, b'shiva b'chodesh. Where do we ever find a special korban being brought on the seventh day of Nisan? There's other details of korbanos over there, also that are different than in the Torah. There's a couple of other things that he mentions over there that seem to contradict the Torah. He mentions, for example, that koyanim are not allowed to eat nevela or trefa. What do you mean? So Yisrael is allowed to? Nobody's allowed to eat nevela or trefa. So the Chum were concerned. People are going to misinterpret it. So therefore, they felt it would be better to be hidden away. Ma'a, so what did Hanani ben Chizkiah do? Helo lo gimel meis gai b'shemen. They brought up for him 300 barrels of oil, so he'd have light to work by. V'yoshav aliyah, and he sat in his attic, v'dosha, and he explained it. He did 300 barrels of oil because he's going to be sitting there for a considerable amount of time, so he needed a lot of light for day after day, night after night, to figure out what the details are. And the Gemara explains in Menachos how we don't know all the answers, but the Gemara gives there some examples of what he came up with in his research. The ones about the Karbanos, for example, the phrasing that Yechezkel uses is teaching a certain dinim about the Karbanos, just the same Karbanos as in the Torah, just using different words. Shiva Bachodesh, for example, teaches us a certain din about the Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibur. Bachodesh, like it says, if it's in Bachodesh. Shiva means that if seven Shvatim did the Aver, and they have to bring the Par Helam Davar. That's one example. Other Mephoshim say Bachal, that's talking about Kobanas Miluim. Kobanas Miluim are always different. They're always out of the ordinary. The one about Nevela or Trefa, he figured out what it is since Koyanim are allowed to eat Chat or Chatas Oif, where you do Malika, which normally would make a Trefa. Maybe you would think that the Chal don't have the din of Nevela or Trefa, so therefore the Pasuk says they do, and we know already Yisraelim have the same mitzvah because they have a Chal don't eat a Chatas Oif. And similarly with all these other things. So therefore we're saying we should remember him for good, because thanks to him that Yechezkel is still. So that is some of them are in the Gemara. The rest of them we take don't know. We should remember him for good, because it's not for him. We wouldn't have Sefer Yecheskel.
Why wouldn't they have?
But that's what you just said, because the Chachamim were concerned that people are going to misinterpret it. Now that Hanani ben Chizkiah explained,
withholding
say that Sefer Yecheskel should not be part of Tanakh anymore, because it's too dangerous for people to learn. People are going to misinterpret. They're going to think that a Navi is allowed to make up dinim. So in this connection, turn it up on and Ma'aseh b'tinuk echad she'okered b'beis rabbi v'sefer Yecheskel. It happened once a certain child, probably the same child from before, who was reading in his Rebbe's school in Sefer Yecheskel, volume Maven b'chashmal. He's considering what chashmal is. V'yotze esh mechashmal v'sarafta, and the fire came out from chashmal and burnt him. Uvikshu ligno sefer Yecheskel. So the Chum said, that's it. We got to hide away. Sefer Yecheskel, too dangerous. Amalem Hanani ben Chizkiah. The same Hanani ben Chizkiah says to them, why? Im zeh chacham, hakol chachamim heim. This cotton maybe is a chacham. Are we saying that everybody is a chacham? What do you? The average person is not going to get to the point of learning enough about, of understanding enough about chashmal that's going to be hazardous. Yeah. My Rav Ransburg says on the bottom over here a little differently that he's saying, okay, maybe this chacham is. Like maybe this cotton, particularly this boy, particularly was a chacham. Most ketanim are not such chachamim. Gedolim already once, you know, when they get of age, then fine, they can learn it. You're worried about the ketanim. Most ketanim are not going to be shy after this kind of thing. Now, my chashmal. So what actually is chashmal? Amar Rav Yehuda, chayes esh memalalos. These are chayes. It's a chashmal is an acronym for chayes of fire that speak. Meaning, Rashi says, "Eish yirtz mediburon." When they speak, fire comes out. But Masnifatana, Braisa says a little differently. Itim choshois, itim malolos. The word chashmal stands for choshois and malolos. They're silent and they speak. Sometimes they speak, sometimes they're silent. When the Eibishter is speaking, then they're quiet because they're nisbatel for the Eibishter. Or when the Eibishter is not speaking, then they speak. In a number of places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that chashmal is the levush, is the levushim of the kalim of the spirits, the levushim that Kaviyachol the Eibishter vests himself in, etc. That's why Yechezkel described the chashmal surrounds the figure on the kiseh. Rav Levick points out in Teres Levi Yitzchok that actually the word chashmal is the gematria malbush, the garment. Pasuk says in Ma'aseh Merkava, "V'chayes rotze v'shoyv k'mare ha'bazak." The chayes are running back and forth, like the appearance of bazak. This is where we get the expression "rotze v'shoyv" in Chassidus, that the tension back and forth, that rotze, the neshama wants to run away back to the Eibishter, and shoyv, but you have to come back down here because you have to make a deal with Tachtonim. The chayes have the same kind of dynamic going back and forth. My rotze v'shoyv, what does it mean running back and forth? Rabbi Yehuda, ur hayotze m'piyak kivshon, like the fire that comes out from the mouth of a furnace. What does it mean? In other words, so you have the fire burning over there in the furnace. Every so often, like you have a bit of fire like jumps out higher than the others, and then it goes back down. So Rashi says the same kind of thing. Like Kaviyachol, the Chayes HaKodesh, like they stick out their heads from under the Rakia to look at the covered of the Shechina, and then they right away jump back so they don't get because too much for them. Yeah, well, because no, too much for them it's higher than their Madrega. My Kamari at Bozak, what does it mean like the appearance of Bozak? It's like the fire that comes out from between the broken pieces of pottery. Like you have, again, we're using the mushal like in a furnace, like you're refining gold or whatever in there. So you have like the broken pieces of not actually broken pieces. Actually, what Rashi says is like this. What you do is when you're refining gold, You take an earthenware container. You punch a bunch of holes in it. You put up your fire, and then you put this cover with the holes on top of it in order that the fire stays inside. The fire stays hot. And again, every so often, like a little bit of fire jumps out from that. That's Kamari Abazak. And then Rashi also says, "We're also gvanim gvanim." Like you have different colors of flame jump out over there. Back at the beginning, towards the beginning at the very beginning of the Ma'aseh Merkava, after the couple of sukkim introducing who Yechezkel is, he starts off like this: Va'era, and I saw v'hinei ruach sa'ara ba'am in atzafa, and behold, there's a storm wind coming from the north, onan gadol, a great cloud, v'esh mispachas, and a flaming fire, v'noiga lo'isavev, and surrounding it as a brightness, u'mitocha ke'ena chashmal mitocha esh, and within it is like the appearance of chashmal from within the fire. In Tanya, it talks about that in Perek Vav, that the four things that we're mentioning over here, Ruach Sa'ara, Onam Gadol, Ve'esh Mislachachas, are the Sholosh Klipas Atmeis, and Ve'noga Lo Yisavev is Klipas Noga. This is where we get the expression Klipas Noga.
And then Chashmal in that sense is the
behemoth
that's
so slain? No. So Chashmal, we said that it's Chayas Eish, it's the Malachim, and we're saying within all of that, there's a Chashmal. As we said, in Chassidish terms, there's a Levush for something. Because even, I guess the idea would be, I don't know exactly, because I don't know in these things really, but I guess the idea is that, after all, within Shalosh Klipas Atmeis, there is a Lakus in them also. If not, they wouldn't exist. But there's a Levush over them that makes it inaccessible. So within that is the chashmal, and within that is the energy of Hashem that keeps all these klippas going. Yeah. The question is laheichan azal. Where is all this going? The expression is that this ruach sa'ara is ba'am min hasafen. It's coming from the north. What purpose is it doing in the north? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, shehalach lichbush es kol ha'olam kule tachas nebuchadnezzar ha'rasha. That it went to these klippas are going to subjugate the whole world under nebuchadnezzar. And why? What is that so important? So that the goyim don't say that Hashem gave over his children into the hands of a lowly nation. Like, look, they're not even that important. So Hashem makes Nebuchadnezzar the superpower of Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, the superpower of that time, and then it's like, so to speak, more becovedic. The Jewish people are subjugated by such an empire rather than by some little, yeah. And on that, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the Eibishter says on that, Mi Gorem Li She'eya Shamash L'Ovdei Psilim, who caused the Kavyachal that now I have to serve those who worship idols? I'm going to say that I have to work for the Ovdei Psilim. I'm going to say, and Shor Yisrael Hein Gorem Li, the Averus of the Jewish people are what caused that to me. We know in terms of how we put it in Chassidus, especially in Kudus Amayin and other places, that our Averus caused that more Shefa gets redirected instead of it going to Tzadak Dusha as it should, it ends up getting redirected to the Klippus. So that's the Kavyachal, then like it says in Tanya, you're like taking the Eibishter and putting him down into the filth. So like the Eibishter is saying, like, you know, look what you're causing to happen with your Avedis, that now, you know, that all of this chayus and all this shefa is now going to Nebuchadnezzar and to the other idol worshippers instead of to Kedusha where it should be going. We have the koyach to do that redirection, yeah. Yechezkel continues, Va'era ha-chayos, he says, I saw the chayos, he described the chayos in detail, and then he starts saying, V'hine oifan echad ba'aretz etzal chayos. There is one oifan, a wheel, literally means a wheel, on the ground next to the chayos. The way that Yechezkel describes it over there is basically, like we say in davening, Va'oifanim v'chayos ha-kodesh. So you have the oifanim, which are, so to speak, wheels, and then you have the chayos ha-kodesh, which are the actual malachim themselves that carry the kisei ha-kovod. Like the wheels are like what they move around on. There was, I think I once mentioned once there was a fellow in the 60s, von Daniken, his name was, who came up with a notion that a lot of unexplainable things in the world are actually the work of aliens. The pyramids in Egypt, for example, how you talk about that primitive people could have put up such things so accurately. The various things in South America, different places around the world, or whatever. He claimed that alien civilizations, mises, or whatever. He looked at this capital of Yechezkel and came up also with the idea that it was that it's aliens. That the Oifan is the spaceships and the Chayos HaKodesh are the aliens. And he published a whole book about this. and interesting the way a Goy Shekhov thinks. Anyway. So what does this mean? What is this Oifan Echad Ba'aretz? What's he doing on the ground? Malachim are up in Shemayim. Amar Rav Elazar, Malach Echad Shu Oimed Ba'aretz. This refers to one particular Malach who stands on the ground. V'roisha Magia Eitzel Achayis, and his head reaches all the way up to the Chayis. So he includes all the different levels. V'masnisa Tana Sandal Shmoi. The Gemara actually says here it's written out in full. It's brought in Sfarim. That's not really, except for the Malachim whose names are in common use, like Michal and Gabriel and whatnot. You shouldn't say out the full names of Malachim. Okay. So, but in many places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea of why he has this name that includes the word sandal, which literally means exactly that, a sandal. Let's finish first talking about what he accomplishes, and then I'll tell you what the Alter Rebbe talks about in the Kotei Torah about him. Hagavoya mechaveira mahalach chamesh meestrana. He's higher than all of his fellow malachim by 500 years. Va'omid achorei hamerkava. He stands behind the merkava. V'koshek sarim lekone, and he ties together, he weaves together crowns for the Eibishter. Out of it, it's brought in Svarim that there's a crown, what he Tosfos actually says over here, mitfilos and shal tzadikim huay tzadikim. He takes the words of the tfilos of the tzadikim, and v'am acholam tzadikim, so in a general way, all the Jewish people, and weaves of them crowns for the Eibishter. This is, we say, Kedusha, keser yitn l'cha Hashem elekeinu. That's the keser. Yeah, he weaves together crowns, yeah. Wow, 80? What do you mean? What do you mean? Crown? Actually, before we get to the 80. Fine. So what's the business with the sandal malach? So the Alter Rebbe explains like this in one of his Maimarim. We're saying that we say words as tefillahs to the Eibishter. Our words are gashmiyastikah, gashmiyastikah breath. It's words written on paper, whatever. How on earth do those have any effect, lamayla? How does a lowly gashmiyastikah word have any effect l'mayla? And we say yehi rotzen. We ask that our tefillahs should change the Eibishter's rotzen, which is, you know, rotzen is beyond seder, shtalshus and everything. How b'chalal does that work? This sandal malach, his job is to be that mutzah, to be that intermediary, like a sandal on a foot. You have the foot, and then you have the earth, and then you have it, the you put on a sandal. You put on a sandal. It's an interface, right, between the foot and the earth. Kaviyachol, this malach is an interface between us and the Eibishter, between Gashmias and Ruchnias. That's why we say that he stands on earth and reaches all the way up to Shemayim, and he takes all words and then extracts the Ruchnias from them and uses them and brings them to the Eibishter.
This is good guy.
Yeah, well, of course he's a good guy. Actually, there's an interesting thing. In many places in Chassidus, it actually instead of mentioning this Malach Sandal, it mentions a different Malach Matatz, who we're going to learn about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that he's the one who makes these crowns. And then there's yet other places where it talks about yet another Malach. There's a Malach Akasriel, from the famous song Vereisi Akasriel Kar Hashem Tzvakos. So there's Maimer from the Friedrich Rebbe from Tavshin Ches, where the Rebbe put in a footnote over there that there's three different levels on which a person can daven, depending on what level a person davens on, whether they're using their nefesh or their ruach or their neshama, then a different one of these malachim is responsible for taking those words and transforming them into ruchnias.
But daven on a level of nefesh or
ruach or neshama.
Not all three together?
You probably could do all three together, and in that case, yeah, but maybe it goes according to the highest one then, whatever. But, you know. Yeah, but what are you putting into your davening? I mean, then there's chaya and echidah, which is a whole other matter. That's probably beyond the malachim anyway. But yeah. So I'm asking, what do you mean? You're saying that the sandal or whichever one of these malachim makes crowns for the Eibishter, like Kaviyachol, he knows where the Eibishter sits, that he can put a crown on his head. What do you mean? Baruch kvod Hashem mimakaymoi. The malachim say, blessed is the glory of Hashem from his place. Which implies they don't know his place. Wherever the Eibishter's place is, that's where Baruch Kavod Hashem. How does a Malach go and offer a crown to the Eibishter? The answer is, Da'om Hashem Ataga, you're right, even the Malach is not capable of that. The Malach says a shame of the Eibishter on this crown, but also the Yosef Aresha, and the crown itself goes, Kaviyachol, and sits on the Eibishter's head. Shame, he says a shame of the Eibishter Ataga on this crown. Like he takes this crown, he says like in the stories where tzaddikim use Seamus of the Eibishter to accomplish things in the world, this Malach takes this crown, says a shame over it, and it automatically flies off to where it needs to go. Which is basically expressing the idea that even a Malach like this, even a Malach who's able to transform Gashmias into Ruchnias, which is no small thing, he's still infinitely distant from the Eibishter also. He can only relate to the Eibishter through a shame. And we know from Chassidus that a shame is a chatzoniistic thing. You don't need a name for yourself. If you're on a desert island, you don't need a name. Your name is only for somebody else to call you. So even this Malach, all he can say is a shame of the Eibishter. You can't, yeah. Amar Rava. Kol Shirah, famous expression, Kol Shirah Yechezkel Ra Yeshaya. Everything that Yechezkel saw, that he described in detail in this Nebuah, Yeshaya saw. Now Yeshaya, in one of his Nebuahs, which is Haftarah, Parashat Yisrael, he also describes how he saw the Kitzei HaKavod Re'isi, Es Hashem Yeshiv HaKitzei Ram Menisa, Shesh Knafayim, he sees Malachim with six wings, which we'll talk about soon. But it's a very brief description. He describes the whole thing in two or three psukim. B'kardah Zel Zev Amah, Kaddish, 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 and that's it, pretty much. He had the Kabbalah, that everything that Yeshaya saw, because he says, no, it's not just the Kabbalah. Yeshaya starts off by saying, Ra'isi es Hashem Yoshev, Va'eres Hashem Yoshev al-Kisei Ram Menisa. Okay? I saw the Eibishter sitting on a high and exalted throne. If he saw that, necessarily he must have seen all the levels below that. So obviously he saw all the Chayes HaKodesh and all the Ofanim and all the everything that Yechezkel saw. But he's not giving details. Whereas Yechezkel is going into details. There's Malachim, they have four faces, they have six wings, they have feet like this, and they have bodies like that, and et cetera, et cetera. He goes through a whole paragraph of 28 psukim like that. So Yechezkel saw everything. One second. So what the question is, if they both saw the same thing, if they both saw the same scene, why does Yechezkel describe it in so many details and Yeshaya does not? The reason is, Lamay Yechezkel Daima, Leben Kfar Shiron Es HaMelech. What is Yechezkel like? He's like a villager who sees the king. Lamay Yeshaya Daima Leben Krach Shiron Es HaMelech. And what is Yeshaya like? He's like a person who lives in the city, in the big city, who sees the king. Which means, there's a few different explanations. Rashi says like this. In human terms, if you have a person who lives in the capital city, he sees the king all the time. Okay, so it doesn't impress him so much. So I saw the king, not Chas V'Shalom to say big deal, but like I don't need to describe it in detail. I saw the king. Everybody knows what you mean. Mashenkin, Ben Kfar comes to the city and he sees a king with his whole entourage and everything. It impresses him. He has to describe it in great detail.
People are
Yeah. So one idea of it, so I think the Rambam says, the idea is, in other words, that Yeshaya is talking to people on a higher level. He can tell them, I saw the Ebesh sitting on Kisei Ram and Nisa, and they understand what he means. Yechezkel is already talking, he's in Golus Bavel, people on a lower level, it's a few years before the Korban, so he has to describe to them in detail that they should be able to get any idea of the concept.
Just the opposite, he describes it in detail. Would be closer to the
mirror? No. That's what we're saying, is that he's further, and therefore he needs to describe it in more detail. And then everyone's talked about the idea that each one has a different kind of bittul. The Ben Krach has a kind of bittul to the king, because he knows the king is always around. The Ben Kfar has a kind of bittul, the kind that comes from, it's a one-time in his lifetime opportunity. Tosfos says it a little bit differently, that a Ben Krach who sees the king doesn't need to give details for people to believe him. They know the king's always around, you know, they believe him, the king's around. Mashenkin, the Ben Krach, you need to give them details that they should believe the king is really there. Yechezkel, the people, again, in Yechezkel's time, the people on a lower level, he has to give them details that they should believe that the Eibishter is still running the world. Amar Resh Lakish, my dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in the Pasuk, Ashiru Hashem ki ga'igah. I'll sing to Hashem because he's very, very exalted. Which means, Shiro l'mishim is go ala game. It means that we sing to the Eivishter who is high and proud over the highest creatures. What does this mean? D'omamar, melech shebachayis ari, the king among all the wild animals is a lion. Melech shebehemis shur, among the domestic animals, the king is the ox. Melech shebeofis nesher, among the birds, it's the nesher, the eagle, or the vulture, or whatever. V'adam is go ala. A person is higher than all those. The person can dominate all those creatures. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu is God HaKulam, Baruch HaLo'olam Kula, and the Eibishter dominates and is above all of those. The Chayis HaKodesh, the four faces that Yechezkel describes, are exactly those four faces. There's a Pnei Aryeh, a Pnei Shur, a Pnei Nesher, and a Pnei Adam. So we see that the Eibishter is higher even than all the highest in each of their respective categories. Continuing with the Psukim in Yechezkel, Kosbach HaDaimu Nus Pnei Pnei Adam, that says the image of their faces was like the face of a person, or Pnei Aryeh LaYomin LaAbatam, they had a face of a lion on the right side of each of the four of them, or Pnei Shurma Asmur LaAbatam, remember, and they had the face of an ox on the left, and then there's the Pnei Nesher. That's in Perek Aleph of Yechezkel. Later on, in the Sefer, he describes it again, and here it's a little different. He says, a different pasuk says, Pnei Ha'echad Pnei HaKruv, one has the face of a kruv, which we'll talk about in a minute what that is, or Pnei Hasheni Pnei Adam, the second one has a human face, V'ashlishi Pnei Aryeh, V'arivi Pnei Nesher, the third one is a lion, the fourth one is a Nesher, V'ilu Shur, like a Hashem. What happened to the Shur? It's missing. Amar Esh Lakish, Yechezkel Bikish Olav Rachmin B'Hafil HaKruv, Yechezkel Davin, and asked for Rachmanos that it should be changed to a kruv. From the Pnei Shur should be replaced by a kruv. Amalafan of Rebbeinu Shlom, Kateger Yosef Haneger. How can the accuser become a defender? What's the purpose of the Chayis HaKodesh is that they should be Malamet Zchus on us in Shemayim. The Shur reminds of the Chet Egel. Hayitachon, there should be a Shur over there. So they should replace it with a kruv. My kruv, Amar Rabbo Kiravia. It means like Ravia. Shekain Bavo, currently Nuka Ravia. In Bavo, they call a child Ravia. So Kiravia, Kiruv, means something that has the face of a child. Then what do you mean? Then Dichtiv Pnei Acha Pnei Kruv. We said that in the second description, there's one is the face of a kruv, or Pnei Hasheni Pnei Adam, and the second one is a human face. Vashlishi Pnei Aryeh V'Arivi Pnei Nesher. Hainu Pnei Kruv. Hainu Pnei Adam. The face of a kruv and the face of an Adam are the same thing. You have two of the same face. The whole point is different faces. And the answer is Afi Rav Revi V'Afi Zutri. You have the large face and the small face. You have the face of an adult and you have the face of a child. This is from this Api Rabbi Rav Api Zutri is where we get the expressions in Kabbalah Ze'er Anpin and Arich Anpin come from this. And the idea in Kabbalah that one refers to you have Arich Anpin is Keser and Ze'er Anpin is Zah, Chesed through Yisoid. So that relates to this over here. The Chayis HaKodesh in a general way, where basically the Chayis HaKodesh with their four faces represent the ten spheres. Represent the spheres from Keser through Keser through Yisrael. No, there's four, but there's Keser, there's Chochma, there's Chochma, there's Bina, there's Zohar, and there's Malchus. Four major categories.
Chochma, Bina,
Zohar, which is the six middle ones, and Malchus. That's what we say, the four letters of Hashem's name, etc. Yeah. How about another one? Kosev echad omer sheish knafayim, sheish knafayim l'echad. One pasuk says that each kruv had, each chaya had six wings. Kosev echad omer v'abba ponim l'achas. Another pasuk says that each one had four faces. V'abba knafayim l'achas l'am, and each one had four wings. One is in Yeshaya's, in Yeshaya's description, he says six wings. In Yecheskel's, he says four wings. Now, Tosfos says, and the Gemara could have answered very simply, one's talking about the Chayas and one's talking about the Seraphim. But okay, the Gemara is assuming they both have the same number. So why does it change from 6 to 4? Yeah. Because, like Asha, Kan Bizman Shabes Mikdash Kayim, Kan Bizman Shain Bez Mikdash Kayim. One's talking about when the Bez Mikdash is standing, one's talking about after, then you have 6, one's talking about after the Bez Mikdash is destroyed, which is Yechezkel's time, then it's down to 4.
So it's going to go back to 6.
Yeah. Kaviyachol, Shinismatu, Kan Fe Achayas, Kaviyachol, the wings of the Chayas, HaKodesh, have been reduced. The question is, Heiminayu Imut, which ones are missing in the time of the Churban? Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav, Oisin Shomis Shira Behen. The wings with which they say Shira, the different wings, each pair of wings has a different purpose.
The two wings that are missing?
The two wings that are missing are the ones they say Shira with. So Yeshaya, when he describes the six wings, he says, two of B'shtayim Yechat Aponav, two of them they cover their face, or B'shtayim Yechat Raglav, two of them they cover their feet, or B'shtayim Yechat and with two where they fly. And the Gemara is going to explain here that the flying doesn't just mean flying, it means singing. It means singing Shira to the Eivishtu.
They means...
The Chayis HaKodesh, these Malachim. Yeah. Why? So, Ksiv HaKho V'shtayim Yo'ifif, it says here that with two they fly, V'karazel Zev Amar, and they call to each other and say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Uchtiv, in a different passage, it says, HaToyif En Yechaboy V'einenu. If you blink your eye at it, then it'll be gone. So we see that the HaToyif is related to V'einenu, that's gone. So the shayim, that Yo'ifef, the two with which they fly, and Vakara, Zel, Zev, Omar, those are the two that are missing. V'rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say different. Oysen Shemachasas V'hen Ragleim, the two that are missing are the two that the Malachim cover their feet with. Shenema V'Ragleim V'Ragol Yeshara, because the Pasuk says, V'Yechezkel, he says they had straight feet. V'Ilav De'imut, now Yeshaya described the feet are covered with the wings. If the wings weren't missing, Menahav Yada, then how does he know what the legs look like? Obviously, those legs, or obviously those wings are missing. So what? Why? Maybe the feet are uncovered for a minute, and he saw them. What about you? You're going to say the same thing? Yechezkel describes the faces of the malachim. Also, you're going to say that the two wings that cover their faces from Yeshaya are missing? Of course not. They still have four wings, and nobody says the ones that cover their faces are missing. Obviously, the faces must have been uncovered for a second. They uncovered the wings from their faces, and he saw them. So also the feet, it could be that they were uncovered, and he saw them. That's what I mean. How could you compare it? When it comes to the faces, you could say they were uncovered. It's derecheristic to uncover your face in front of your Rebbe. It's not that you don't have to keep your face covered the entire time in front of your Rebbe. So kaviyachol, the malachim can uncover their faces for a minute in front of the Eivishter. But your feet, it's not derecheristic to uncover in front of your Rebbe. So the feet should always be covered. If the feet are uncovered, which Yechezkel sees them uncovered, must mean those wings are missing.
These two wings cover the feet.
Cover the feet. Yeah. I guess we'll stop over here. But there's an interesting verse that they bring. It's brought from the Vilna Gaon. It's brought from Rebbe Lamelech Lezhensker and probably others as well. That the six wings correspond to the six words of Baruch Shem Tov Machosel Amavod. The two that I'm missing then. Since the Gemara has said, according to one opinion, that the two that are missing are the two middle ones that they sing with, means the ones corresponding to Tovod Machosai are missing. That is why we say in Yom Tov Davening, Galik Kvoid Malchuscha Aleinu Mehera. Reveal the Kvoid Malchuscha on us immediately. Bring back the two wings that have Kvoid and Malchuscha on them, so we have the whole thing.